And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And again, thank you to Michael Hoffman, Breaking Murphy's Law. It was a very, very entertaining show. And now, of course, the first Monday of every month from 3 to 4, clearly, and I mean this sincerely, my favorite attorney is in the house, Jim Hyten, right now, or Hyten & Lewis. Jim, how are you?
Good, good. How are you, Dave?
I am good. Did you have a good New Year's?
Yeah, survived it. How about yourself?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I don't really do much because they say it's dangerous. There's gunshots sometimes, and drinking and driving is not my cup of tea.
Well, I thought it was this year was more exciting because we got to watch the fiscal cliff and negotiations all the way to the end of the year.
So. Yeah, when people were watching the countdown with Anderson, what's his name, Anderson Cooper or whatever CNN or some of these other shows, I was watching Congress. I thought that was much more appealing, right?
It was just as exciting.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought so. They were all meeting, and in the Senate, I guess at New Year's passed it or that day, and then Congress. Poor people had to get up and go to work on New Year's Day. Well, if they did their job earlier, maybe they could have had a day off. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe we're just dull, but I mean, I was the same thing. I wasn't watching the ball drop. I wasn't watching Dick Clark's
New Year's.
I was watching the Senate and the House and all the reports on what was going to happen with the bill.
I was looking for Dick Clark's channel, but he did pass away.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Anderson Cooper is sort of funny. I did switch a few times and watch him.
Yeah.
It was sort of weird with his... who was it? Kathy Griffin or something. And she was, well, it was like PG-13 or more. It was very strange. And then I went back to, no, let's watch, I think MSNBC had a special, and I think Fox, right, may have had a special. And I thought that was sort of interesting. Like, oh, finally, they're doing something.
It's just at the last minute. And like you and I talked about, I mean, the biggest problem with this is that, you know, at year end, you're trying to advise clients. You're trying to tell them what they might want to do, and you're sitting there, and you don't know what's going to happen because they could have just as well walked away from that deal, and we'd be sitting here today with none of that of on the books and just all kinds of problems. So,
yeah, there's no doubt about it, and I think it does make it it's sort of unfair. I mean, unfair to businesses.
Yeah.
Unfair to the general public, not knowing what to do, and it's really strange. I mean, Jim, let me ask you this: do you think it's more than just the philosophical differences? Do you think there's some ego involved, and everyone's guarding their turf, or what is it? I mean, it's probably a lot of variables there.
Right, right. I think you're right. I think there's ego. I think there's politics.
Yeah.
I think there's somewhere buried in all of this is some kind of actual concern about the fiscal well-being of the country and how do we get the deficit under control. But there's so many things going on that almost everything that goes out of Congress or out of the president's office, it seems like it just spins and spins and spins. And as you and I talked about previously, we've been doing this for a while. And in my 30-plus years, I mean, I can only think of maybe one or two times where everything was so uncertain as to tax policy is you almost had to stop and wait. The rest of my career, you've always kind of known what you could do tax-wise. And so it was more business decisions than waiting for somebody back in Washington to pass a tax law.
Very, very strange. And it really makes it difficult for tax planning. And I know you were pretty busy there at the year end because, you know, you just have to take your best guess which way it might go. And maybe take the safer out that, hey, if you want to sell something now while the capital gains are lower, which I think you did, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
lucky you did because the capital gains did go up.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, on higher income people.
On higher income people, yeah.
But nevertheless, they still went up to top rate now at 20% plus the 3.8 potentially, 23.8%, right?
So, yeah, I mean, you really, even if you're below the 400 or 450,000, and have the 15%, you're still going to maybe get hit with a 3.8%, so it's 18.8 as opposed to it's very difficult. And you're right. At the end of the year, we were talking about people about whether or not to sell things and take the lower rate. I didn't get to talk to Al Gore about that, but he apparently was trying to do that too.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, sell his TV network and get to 15%. But
he was selling a TV network.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, He was trying to get it done before year end. I think it only got done right after the first of the year. So he didn't quite get the capital gains.
What did John Edwards do?
I don't know.
What did he sell? Sold out. That's what he did.
That's right.
What a tragic. Oh, I don't want to get off into that. But what? That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is weird.
His whole story. It's like, that's actually very sad. I mean, his wife seemed, and she passed away, she seemed nice, but to put up with the shenanigans.
Unfortunately, that seems like more prevalent in politics today than maybe had been. But, you know, even at year end, we were debating about where people were trying to decide, should I go ahead and gift all the way up to the $5 million minimum?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be 3.5? I mean, luckily it stayed at $5 million
as
a lifetime. But there are still people in the administration that are saying that ought to go to 3.5 as opposed to $5 million.
Yeah, and it actually, you know, it's interesting that the exemption stayed at $5 million, but I think didn't the rate go from 35 to 40?
Yes, that's right.
So I guess, you know, but it's hard for attorneys, tax attorneys, and myself as a CPA. You know, what do you do when the politics are so uncertain? I mean, the politicians that seem to implement these laws, or at least, you know, come up with the laws.
Right. Well, and the other thing that's so amazing to me is that, you know, when you listen to the people who are reporting on this whole thing, you would have thought that this was a bill that just dealt with tax rates.
I know.
And that you would see about a 5 or 6 page bill go through. It's hundreds of pages, and there's all kinds of different things that are stuffed into this, other tax breaks. And, you know, as I say, you just almost wonder. Nobody talked about it, but like you and I are in the business. So when you get it, you look at it and you go, well, here's these other tax breaks and here are these other items that got put in the bill. I mean, you just wonder who sits there and puts all this stuff in the bill and then says, oh, okay, I guess we're done. I mean, as I say, if you just listened to the news reporters, you would have thought this was no more than 10 pages in this bill dealing with tax rates, the tax holiday, and those kind of things. Instead, there's just hundreds of provisions that are in this bill and not necessarily helping you or I or anybody we know.
No, and one of them in particular was sort of funny to me. Must have a good lobby group, and that was a 7-year recovery period for motorsports and entertainment complex.
Yeah.
That sounds like a NASCAR. How did they get in this bill? And I guess lobbyists are still well and good in Washington because that got in here, and I wonder who supported that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, and of course, nobody talked about it before the deal was done.
I never heard of it.
You didn't hear about it, and then all of a sudden you find out, whoa, here it is. It's right there, a 7-year deal for motorsports and for writing off these things, their facilities and what have you. And, again, that's got to be something like NASCAR or some other type of motorsport.
Yeah.
But you're right. The lobbyists must have been hard at work on this thing.
I think so. And I don't know if we want to talk about this or not, but lobbyists, is that a good thing you think to have or not? I mean, that they do have some pretty good influence, don't they?
A lot.
I don't know if that's always a good thing because I don't know. It just seems like they'll select certain industries, certain even people. Tax laws have had even one, you know, a family in there.
Sure.
It's weird, isn't it?
Well, you remember the old, what they used to, the shorthand reference was to the Gallo Amendment in the estate tax law, which was because of the Gallo wine family, and it was a particular provision that gave them some relief. So you're right. I mean, when you get to provisions that are actually named after a particular family, you know that you've got stuff in the law that just really isn't, you know, going to help a lot of folks.
Very strange.
Yeah.
I wish I had my own lobbyist. Do you have your own lobbyist?
No. Well, we do have a lobbyist in our firm, but...
But, I mean, you know, personally, to say, hey, I want to do this. Although I did get my way. Like for Christmas.
Oh, you did?
National Hockey League is back.
Oh, it's back. That's right.
Did you hear about
that? That's right. I just saw the headline in the paper.
That's exciting, right?
Yeah.
I love hockey. And this Friday, 2 o'clock on our sports show, we have President and COO Mike Neely calling in talking about, hey, Coyote fans, get ready to rumble because it's starting within a few weeks.
That's great.
Yeah, that's sort of cool.
That'll be helpful to everybody there out in Glendale, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, it's fun. And, you know, what I like about it is some of the people that have temporarily lost their jobs, the small guys.
Right.
You know, now
right.
they can start working again. That was sort of the tragedy of this whole thing. It wasn't the billionaire owners or the millionaire players. It was, you know, the people that needed these jobs, the parking
right.
attendants to the food people to
right.
taking tickets and any staff. And that's what I feel best about.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that's to me, that helps make up the local economy. So,
yeah.
But, going back to these bills, I mean, even I was last night watching one of the channels and they were talking about one of the reasons this Hurricane Sandy relief bill got all messed up in Congress was that people started trying to lard it up with a bunch of other stuff.
I saw that.
And, you know, it's almost like you want to say, guys, if you can't even do a bill to give some relief to these people and not put a bunch of stuff on
they
there.
They call it pork, I think.
Yeah, pork, yeah. Or earmarks or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, that's true.
That's
yeah.
just – that's nonsense.
How does that happen? And meanwhile, a lot of people are suffering in New Jersey, New York, you know, in that area, right? And it's very sad. Chris Christie, that's his name, right? The governor.
Yeah, the governor.
Boy,
he was
pretty
mad.
Upset.
Yeah.
I sort of like him in a way. He's sort of outspoken. He's sort of like, I'll say what I want, you know. But he is trying to help. I mean, I don't know. You know, he's trying to help the citizens of New Jersey.
Well, as I say, that's the reason a lot of these tax bills get so frustrating because, I mean, and it's probably also why when they talk about, well, we're going to reform the Internal Revenue Code and we're going to raise some, you and I have been seeing this for years.
Oh, yes.
Is everybody's going to do that. And their problem is you think about how, you know, how much stuff was loaded into this relatively simple bill at the end of the year.
Oh.
You get a bill together to try and reform the Internal Revenue Code, that bill might not even fit in this room by the time they put everything on there.
I can't imagine them doing it. They've tried before. Reagan tried.
Right.
Well, he did, actually, in 1986, but it did upset the real estate industry a little bit.
A lot.
And then with the passive losses, and then they sort of corrected it with real estate professionals. You probably remember that. Tough time. But everyone had, you know, he had good intentions to.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We're not saying he didn't have good intentions. It was just very difficult. And some of the compromises, I think it hurt the real estate industry there for a little while.
Oh, it did, because they took the depreciation, you know, from a short-term depreciation. They ballooned it up to, what, it was 30 years or something?
Something like that,
And that just really – and it wasn't – it was currently applicable. It wasn't something that they grandfathered things. It became applicable to everything.
Oh.
And that really hit the real estate market hard.
Because you make decisions in your financial analysis on that, and next thing that depreciation blows up and goes up to twice almost, I think. I think it was at 15 years at one time, real estate.
Oh, it was getting down really low.
And now it affects your bottom line. It affects your tax obligation, affects a lot of things. But, I mean, there's, you know, it's not just, you know, Reagan had a nice overhaul, but there's a lot of people that have tried overhauls and – I just don't see it. You know, people want to do a flat tax. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I don't think so either. I mean, I keep a lot of my old Internal Revenue Codes, and I mean, they're not getting any smaller. They're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a real problem when you talk about reforming the Internal Revenue Code. Now, I do agree that you could do that, and there'd be a lot of things that you could do to make it easier And you could probably go in and root out a lot of special provisions that got enacted that nobody uses anymore. But, you know, I just don't see that anybody has that intent to do that. It's more about how do we raise revenue, how do you get this break, and then the lobbyists march in, and you got, you know.
And both sides just fighting, and they're fighting over Chuck Hagel, and both sides don't like him. Well, at least they're in agreement there, maybe.
Yeah,
but
right.
I don't know how that's going to turn out. But why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, there are some really interesting and very good provisions in this. And we're going to talk about a few when we come back from the break. And this is a Practical Business Solution starring Jim Hyten from Right Now or Hyten & Lewis, great tax attorney. Great law firm, by the way, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking every Monday through Friday, 2 to 4. We're on 5 days a week. Of course, business psychology type shows Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday and Friday, Breakthrough Sports, our sports programming. And every Thursday, the magazine, Heavy in Entertainment. And, of course, today we have Jim Heinten in studio from Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis. Great, great law firm. And this is Practical Business Solutions. We're talking about that weird thing that happened on January 1st, the fiscal cliff situation. Of course, that's the 2012 Taxpayer Relief Act, and it was a relief that it finally got passed.
That's right. I'm not sure it was much relief from a tax standpoint, but it was a relief it got passed.
But we did promise, some things were very good about this. And, Jim, you and I were talking about, most people thought this was just about tax rates, and we'll go into that a little bit later in the show, but it was much more. That was the smaller part of it.
Right.
It wasn't about just raising tax rates. It's about there was some new tax law. I mean, I'm looking at your notes, and it looks like hundreds of pages you got there of new things or really extending existing provisions. One such provision I think is good. that they extended. And for you realtors out there, maybe you knew, maybe you didn't, but everyone thought that the cancellation of debt, the discharge of qualified principal residence indebtedness ended on 12/31/12, but it has been extended before to 12/31/2013.
Yes, and I think that again, that was one of those things that you could sit and watch, you know, the last week of the year, and you could have watched CNN, MSNBC,
yeah.
Fox,
doesn't
NBC,
matter,
ABC.
Yeah.
Nobody was talking about that, and yet I think there are a lot of people out there that it makes a big difference to, and I'm glad they extended it because I think there's still a lot of people that need that relief.
Totally agree, and how sad that no one knew that you know, could have caused a lot of aggravation. Guess what? It really could have caused divorce too, if you think about it.
Yeah.
People with financial difficulties saying, "Oh shoot, now I can't sell this thing," so they gave, you know, and they didn't get foreclosed or they couldn't short sale it or whatever. It would have relieved a lot of people. So it's sort of a weird name, the 2012 Taxpayer Relief Act. It didn't give much emotional relief at all because people would have made different decisions perhaps.
Yeah, if they knew that was going to get passed, then I think they might have made different decisions. But, you know, I did have people ask me before the end of the year, and I had to tell them, I don't know. I mean, I said, I don't know that that's going to get passed. I don't know that that'll be in the bill. And you may have to ask yourself whether you know, take the chance that in 2013 you're not going to have that debt relief provision, as opposed to going ahead in 2012 and taking the lousy deal that's there, but at least you know you got the debt relief provision.
And maybe it could have saved some houses. Maybe they said rather than selling it because of that, maybe they could have, you know, if they knew it was up till 12/31/13 now,
right,
maybe they would have held on to it, got it, you know, maybe they would, if it was a case of unemployment, maybe they got a job, saved their house.
I mean,
there's a lot of ramifications, which, you know, do the politicians care about that? Maybe not. I don't know.
I'm just surprised that it didn't get more play. But again, I think you're right. I think the politics of it was the big story, and that's all that the reporters really reported, as opposed to some of these other things. Like one of the other things we talked about was the extension of being able to write off leasehold improvements in 15 years. And that for, you know, and even restaurant equipment had a break that was in there too. And for restaurants and people doing leasehold improvements, I mean, that is something that, you know, they need to know that that's there, because now they can go to their banks or whoever and say, you know, things are getting a little bit better. I want to expand some. I want to do some things. Let's go ahead and try and get this done.
Totally agree. It just sort of stopped everything. And unfortunately, and like we said, this bill was way more than the tax rate. Now, a couple other things probably are good. The option to deduct state and local general sales tax, that came back. It was supposed to expire, but that's now revived and continues through 2013. So that's a possibility. The treatment of mortgage insurance premiums as qualified residence interest, that was supposed to expire. That's now revived through 2013. So some more deductions. Like we said, there's some good stuff that did come into play with this. Section 179. The higher limits up to, I think it's $500,000.
I think so. $500,000, yeah.
Yeah, phase out at purchases, I think, over $2 million. So there are some good stuff. And again, for big business, I mean, that would be sort of at least mid-sized to big business. I mean, writing off $500,000 versus $25,000. I mean, you know, who are they kidding? It's like, wow, businesses have to know this.
And you're right. I mean, I those are the things that I would have thought that we would get more information about, but we didn't. It's interesting that even people I know in states that don't have an income tax, like Nevada and Texas, where I know people there, and we'd talk about it, and they were worried because they said, look, you know, if this thing expires and I can't deduct my sales tax, I don't have an income tax to deduct on my Schedule A.
That's a very good point.
You know, and I was surprised they seemed to be a little bit in the dark, too, as they weren't getting a lot of information. Is this going to be extended? Is it not? So, again, you know.
Very, very difficult. It's like really shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you just don't know. Another good thing, I think the extension of the American Opportunity Credit has been extended for 5 years through 2017. And of course, that's for a tax credit for college costs. And,
right.
And that's
right.
a good deal there for people. But again, maybe if people are making decisions, do I go to college or not? I can't go unless I get this credit, which is partly refundable now. And they changed that. Another good deal.
Right.
So
it
is loaded with some pretty good situations, especially for the middle income level people, because a lot of this has to do with that. And you got to figure, well, that's a pretty good situation, too. So it's just a shame that, Pete, like you said, there wasn't more play on this and discussion.
Well, and too, that like even the capital gains issue, I mean, at year end,
yeah.
I mean, I had a lot of people that were rolling towards getting things sold so they get the 15%. And yet, you know, you look at where the break points are now on the 15% versus 20% and what have you. If we would have known what they were going to do with that, we might have been able to structure in installment payments and keeping installment payments under a certain level.
That's right.
And keeping the capital gains rate down. But again, it was like shooting in the dark. You had no idea what they were going to finally come up with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what they did come up with beginning in 2013, of course, is the rate will be 0% if income falls below the 25% tax bracket.
Right.
15% if income falls at or above the 25% tax bracket, but below the new 39.6% rate. Of course, that was in the Clinton era, I think, that top bracket.
What, 450,000 for joint returns?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And 20% if income falls in the 39.6 tax bracket. So, but it can be higher because on the Affordable Care Act, there's that 3.8% that I think 250, I believe. Well, there's a 200 AGI and a 250 deal, but and so the top capital gain could be 23.8%. You're absolutely right. Had we known some of this earlier, we both could have advised people, one way or the other.
Sure.
So that's interesting. But what got the play was the tax rates.
Right.
So after 2012, we still have the 10, the 15, the 25, the 28, 33, and 35% tax brackets. With one new one. So if you're single at $400,000, $425,000 for head of household, wow, this sounds like a sporting event.
Yeah.
$450,000 for joint filers and qualifying widowers or widow, and $225,000 for married filing separate, you now have a 39.6% tax rate. So
right.
That does affect some people. They did go up. I guess compromised, right? It was going to be, what, 200 and 250, something
like
that.
Well, and again, you know, that's one of those things where you just kind of get a little bit frustrated because, you know, at first, you know, the president wanted like $250,000 was going to be his limit. And he basically told people, I'm not going to change.
Right.
It's carved in stone. You can take it to the bank. You know, well, then the Republicans tried to get like the $1 million.
Limit. Yeah, Plan B.
Plan B.
But no one voted for it or something.
Nobody liked that either. So then they finally come up with the $450,000 and for joint filers. I mean, you almost want to say to them, look, just, you know, get reasonable and come to the number pretty quick and don't play these games like this because you kind of knew that's what was going to happen. But, you know, they had to go through all this rigmarole.
So would you agree it's not so much – how it came out, but the uncertainty was a problem for businesses, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's the uncertainty. You can't advise somebody when you don't know.
Yeah.
And like you say, like the Section 179 and being able to deduct up to $500,000 of new equipment and things like that. If you don't know that's there, are you going to start the process of going to your bank and saying, well, I'm going to expand my plant and I'm going to buy this? And a lot of that equipment, there's a 6 or 7 month lead time to buy that.
Exactly.
Stuff. It's not like you just go down to, you know, a warehouse and say, oh, well, give me that big old stamping press that's sitting there.
That's right.
They got to build it.
And, of course, we didn't know this till the day after. You could have bought it anyway.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that is craziness.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just unfortunate. But anyway, and there's some other things. Well, you know, some of the higher income people did get hit. They got reinstated. The phase out for personal exemptions,
right.
And also itemized deductions to the high earners. There's going to be some more phase out on that. because that didn't happen. I know last year, last couple of years, right. I believe. But so, you know, there is some revenue raisers, not just the tax rates, but limitation on certain deductions.
Right. And you know, the good thing with a lot of these things that throughout this act that I was encouraged by is many of these things, like the personal exemption phase out, is they did index it for inflation.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, so often they don't do that. And that's lunacy.
Because
right. it just means that you're going to fight about it down the road. Just index it yeah. for inflation. Make it work. And it's like the annual gift tax exemption or
yeah.
exclusion is it went from $12,000 to $13,000 to $14,000 this year. And they indexed it for inflation. So that you don't have to go fight about it every few years in Congress.
Yeah.
I mean, just we know there's going to be inflation. Go ahead and put it in.
And finally, they did.
Yeah, yeah. And even like we talked about, the AMT, they finally put a patch yeah. in there, finally.
And that's good news for middle earners. The exemption amounts are now $79,750. Married filing jointly. That's a pretty good rate or exemption amount. Otherwise, a lot of people would get hammered on that one.
Right, and they indexed that for inflation finally, too, because that was
yeah.
part of the problem initially was, well, the fact that it did actually expire, you know, they didn't extend it. But the other problem was they wouldn't index it for inflation, so every time they extended it, they had to come up with a new number.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think, so there are some good things. It just, you know, they just have to give more notice so people can plan.
Right.
I mean, planning, right, Jim? I mean, you do that with your clients all
yeah.
the time. This is called practical business solutions. Of course, the practical, there it starts with the P, and planning starts with the P. You got to have planning in your
right.
life.
Right. And you know, I'm not that political, but I mean, you know, you look at the people who are building plants, who are expanding their businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, I know and everybody knows that means jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but if they can't plan to do that, they can't plan on hiring new
yeah.
people.
Totally agree. And let's take another quick break, and we'll come back to for more information on the 2012 Taxpayer Relief Act. We're here with Jim Hyten of Right Now, or Hyten and Lewis. It's called Practical Business Solutions. We'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the first Monday of every month from 3 to 4, it is Practical Business Solutions starring Jim Hyten. Right now, our Hyten and Lewis, great, great law firm. Jim, of course, phenomenal attorney, tax attorney, too. I just, you know, Jim, I really appreciate tax attorneys because you have a whole new dimension on all the deals you do, right?
Yeah, yeah. We try to, all the deals we do, we try to make sure they're structured from a tax-efficient standpoint. And, you know, sometimes I see deals that walk into my office and they're I'm looking at them. I'm wondering, why was this structured this way? Because yeah. There's a deduction or there's a better way of doing it to reduce the amount of taxes paid, which I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to pay less taxes.
Right, right.
I don't know. Maybe somebody would want to pay more, but yeah. Most people I know don't.
Yeah, well, exactly. But that's what I love about your firm. I mean, you got a variety of attorneys. Guy, well, you must have, 30 now?
Yeah, I think we're 30.
Wow, that's a lot. And all these different areas, so you have great resources. That's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice to be able to reach out to other people that have expertise in various areas and be able to say, what about this? I mean, like an environmental issue.
Yeah.
And litigation, of course, and even with, you know, the real estate market coming back, having people in there that know about zoning and entitlements and being able to when somebody comes in and says, I want to build this project, well, I immediately send them to our zoning attorney and our zoning group and say, well, you might want to build that project there, but whether you can or not, it's going to depend upon a lot of different things. So,
totally agree, and it's good to have all those resources. But it's not like you don't get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
There's like national firms or international, and you know, people feel like, wow, I'm sort of a number. And would you call your firm more like a boutique firm where, you know, you're still highly visible. You treat people with such great care.
Well, that's really what we try to do. And, I mean, the nice thing about having a smaller firm, I mean, even though we are on two floors now, I mean, most of the time we see everybody. So it's kind of like I say, you can't escape. I mean, you go and you know, I see somebody walking by that I gave them something to do, and I can ask them, how's that coming?
You yeah.
Know, get back to the client on that. I mean, so it's – but I – everybody kind of likes each other, so it's nice to have that smaller group and not get into these really big mega firms.
Yeah, no question about that. And I suspect it helps with the quality, too. You can get your arms around it. And, of course, quality is so important.
Yeah, no, you're right. The quality of the work is the main thing. So,
and we've been talking about Washington a little bit in 2012 Taxpayer Relief Act. The relief came a day later, evidently, but some people missed the boat on that because it was after the year end. But regardless, there are some pretty good provisions. It's not just like we talked about tax rates. Now, I think another good provision, it appears to me, is it's a new provision that permits individuals to convert any portion of their balance in an employer-sponsored tax-deferred retirement plan account into a Roth account under that plan. So that's a new provision that could help people perhaps get into a Roth. And
right.
So I think that's not bad. You're going to have to pay the tax on conversion, but nevertheless, you do a calculation to see, well, it's a better paying the tax now versus having tax-free coming out.
You know, what's interesting about that, Dave, is it almost is – you know, back years ago, the idea was you put money in a retirement plan because you're going to deduct that, and when it comes out, you're going to be at a lower tax rate.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, you look at this and you say, well, wait a minute. Maybe that's not exactly right. As tax rates are rising, maybe I'm better off to pay the tax at today's rate and then be able to use it later on without the higher taxes being imposed. So it really is kind of turning that idea on its head some, and who knows, if tax rates keep going up, it may be that people want to really look at that.
And I've had clients that have chosen to pay the tax now, and I don't know, it might be a good thing. So, you know, it's you always check with your tax advisor to see what's appropriate for you. And then I think you mentioned a few others, didn't you, that some, because you got hundreds of pages there.
Oh,
the charitable contribution thing for...
IRAs, that they extended you could use your IRA to designate it to a charitable organization, and they extended that provision. As you and I talked about, too, that Hollywood got their cut in this. They got a special provision that allows them to deduct, a lot of their production cost. I think it's like $15 million or something. I mean, so they got their cut in this, too. I mean, they weren't standing there just waiting for, the streetcar to go by. Yeah. They got on board.
A streetcar named Desire.
Yeah, yeah. They got on board and got their cut of the tax relief here.
Well, we got to keep those movies coming out.
Yeah,
Boy, a lot of movies. Do you ever see many movies?
I don't watch many movies, no.
Yeah. A lot of movies just came out, though.
They must cost a lot to make, though.
Oh, yes.
$15-20 million of deductions. That's a lot.
So. Wow. Yeah. And energy credit stuff, some were extended. The credit for energy efficient new homes is retroactively extended for 2 years through 2013. So, there's a lot to this bill. Like we said, it wasn't just about rates, which was really, right, surprising to you and myself, Jim, that there's so much more to this, because the media just really didn't come up with this. And, of course, this just happened.
Well, and like we were talking, I mean, I've got, and you've got, a summary of a lot of the provisions in the act that's roughly, I don't know, maybe this is about 25 to 30 pages.
Yeah.
Then I've got another one that I was able to get that basically goes through all the provisions they amended in the act, which is, I don't know, this is probably about 100 pages, and there's probably about anywhere from 5 to 7 provisions on each page that they reference. So it's all these different things that they amended, which, again, some of them I'm not even sure why it was in this act, but it's obviously somebody said, well, we need to get rid of this or amend it, and so they amended it and put it in here.
You think that some of the senators and congressmen actually read the whole thing?
I would really doubt that. I would really doubt. And it's one of those, I remember, when we had, what was the Tax Reform Act of 1986? Again, was passed kind of in the dead of night, and everybody was running around.
Ugh.
I always remember that there were people literally writing the thing while they were voting and trying to show it to people and say, well, here's what it's going to look like, maybe.
Incredible,
and,
right?
Who was it? Was it Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker of the House and talked about Obamacare? And she said, well, we need to pass it first, and then we can read it and see what's in there. I mean, you get the sense that they do that.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. Here's something that I think I've gotten some calls on, and some people said, wow, my first paycheck in 2013 is less than it was in 2012, and it's the payroll tax cut is no more. The payroll tax holiday, they called it, the 2% payroll tax expired, and that... It didn't seem like either side, the Republicans or Democrats, fought too hard for that one. I sort of like that one. I mean, yeah, you got to pay for it somewhere.
Right.
But it did help a lot of people.
Sure.
But it's, boom, gone. Where'd it go?
Well, you're right. And at one point early on when this whole thing got started, I remember that I think the president had said, this if we don't do something, this payroll tax holiday goes away, it's going to really hurt these middle and lower class and they need to have that 2%. And then you're right. All of a sudden, like about 3 weeks before this thing got passed, it was like it just disappeared. Nobody talked about it.
It was
just gone.
Yeah, very strange. Just the dark of night.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the new book, the new movie that can be fully deducted. No, I'm just kidding. But now we're not out of the woods yet. If we thought that was scary, remember the movie Sharks? When you thought it was safe to go back in the water. It is not safe, because what's coming up is the debt limit?
Debt limit.
And then the sequester stuff, automatic cuts in less than 2 months now, and the budget. So, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sort of afraid that under this debt limit, the debt ceiling deal, that talking about a fiscal cliff, that's a Grand Canyon. I mean,
if
the government starts defaulting, I mean, they can't pay stuff. everyone's threatening to say, no, let's, like the Democrats said, well, let's go over the cliff.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And
right.
Now, you know, what's going to happen with the ceiling? If they don't extend it or raise the ceiling, that's a problem. And maybe a downgrade in the credit rating.
That would probably be the biggest thing is you get a downgrade in the credit rating for the United States, and then, you know, that's going to take a hit on interest rates and all those kind of things are going to be a problem.
And it could affect, I've heard, the worldwide community. Mm-hmm. Businesses could be affected. And a lot of people say, well, could, you know, start sliding the other way back to a recession, perhaps.
That's very possible. And I think that's your possibility. And then the sequestration thing, it amazed me. I mean, they just kind of, as Washington likes to say, kicked the can down the road.
And they did.
And they did for a couple months. And you know, the big defense contractors, of course, they'll have something put in place. But I think you and I have talked about, I mean, especially even in Arizona here, there are a lot of small businesses that sell to big defense contractors, and they're just subcontractors, and they do a lot of work with the defense industry.
Yeah.
And they've got to worry, too, because if all of a sudden these things get cut, I mean, the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to get cut, and what are they going to do? And so, like you say, it's kind of the smaller businesses that you worry about the most is they may not be able to withstand, you know, having half of their contracts go away or something.
That'd be horrible, actually. And, you know, and what's sad is if that does happen, you know, Arizona's doing quite well now. They're in the top five in states that are recovering. That's pretty cool, right?
Right, right.
But if something like this happens, you know, will it start turning again? And I don't know. It could. And then the third thing, it's like the trifecta.
Yeah.
So we talked about debt ceiling limit, sequester deal. The budget, that's never been passed in, I don't know,
I don't
years.
I think they've passed one in 4 years.
Yeah, something like that. So how do you know, your firm, I'm sure, has a budget. I mean, you got to have a budget.
Yeah.
Companies have budgets. They have to sort of know.
Right.
It's just standard good practice, isn't it?
you're right. I mean, they don't have a budget, and what they've been doing apparently, and I don't quite understand this completely, they pass these, like, you know, 6 month or 9 month, you know, funding bills, and they fund the government for so long.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, I don't understand it completely, but it's kind of like, you know, let's get the credit card out and we'll fund it for another 6 months and see how we go. But they just, I don't know why they can't figure out how to get a budget together.
No, it's. I seem to hear a flute. Do you hear a flute?
Yeah, I hear a flute somewhere.
Where is this flute? Tommy, where is that flute coming from? Oh, you're playing the flute? There it is again.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not my phone, but it could be Washington calling
us.
Yeah,
right.
So is there a solution here? I mean, is there, you know, everyone is trying to figure that out. The solution to get things done for the greater good of the country. And I don't know. Any ideas?
I don't know. Maybe you should run for office or something.
Oh, no, and I would never want to run.
Yeah.
But I would vote for you.
Yeah,
though.
I see.
No, I
see,
really would. I think. Would you ever like to be a politician?
I don't think so.
That's tough, isn't it?
I don't think I could laugh. I think the problem is you get guys that really are people that want to do this and do it the right way.
Yeah.
I think they really have a hard time staying in office
or
getting elected because you got to be truthful. And boy, once you're truthful, it's just you they spin it and make you look like you're you know, trying to take away all kinds of benefits, and all you're trying to be is honest about we can't spend this amount of money anymore.
There's got to be a solution somewhere. I'm not sure what it is though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I don't know. I think the country's so divided now, right?
Oh,
it seems like half-half
sort
of, well, roughly.
I mean, there was really no mandate. I mean, when you talk about 51%, and there was still 49% that didn't vote for the guy. So, you know, it's kind of like,
it's like half-half. I mean, and it's very tough. And I don't know. I'm not sure. But somehow there's got to be a solution. I think we're going to think a solution on this show, though. As we go through the year, we will think of stuff. And the good news is this is your resource center, and we'll keep everyone up to date on stuff that's coming up because people want to be successful, right?
Right, right.
And that's what Practical Business Solutions is all about. This show is to how to keep you informed, how to learn or enhance success, and we've had some great guests on before.
Sure. Sure.
And that's what we're going to continue to do despite Washington, D.C.
That's right.
So let's see. So, God, we're only – God, this hour flew by. It's amazing. How do people get in touch with your firm, and what else can you say about your firm? We've talked a little bit about it, but it's very diverse in its practice.
Right. I mean, we cover just about everything in terms of the areas of law that we practice in. Best way to get a hold of us is to, for me, is to call the main number, which is 602-254-9900. I like to talk to people on the telephone.
Yeah.
Email's fine, but it's a lot of times I can solve problems a lot quicker with a telephone call.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, really, as far as tax goes, I mean, you know, we used to be the dull people in the room, the CPAs and the tax lawyers. Now we're the really exciting people in the room.
Yeah, we're
starting to go to parties because everybody wants to know what's going to happen. Yeah. And we're the ones that, oh, yeah, you're going to get bigger taxes here.
Exactly. Times have really changed.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
And maybe thank you to Washington for upgrading our status.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's it's the new attorney, CPA type of stuff. And also there was another one that people might be interested in is in the child care credit is back up. I think it's 1,000. So that could have had a pretty big impact on families as well. So some good stuff. And, of course, again, your phone number, Jim?
602-254-9900.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. We'll see you next month, first Monday of every month from 3 to 4. And again, if you have questions, call Jim Hyten, 602-254-9900. Excellent. And we'll see everyone tomorrow. We have Breaking Murphy's Law at 2 to 3. And I think it is 2 to 3. Yeah. And we do have Understanding Autism from 3 to 4. Everyone have a great night. Watch the football game, Notre Dame and Alabama. I'm picking Notre Dame. I think they're underdog. I like the underdogs. See you tomorrow.